The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 175. Super excited to bring Jim Kiertsey with you today. Jim is the head strength coach at Kennesaw State. They started the program from scratch just a few years back. He's been there from the very beginning, and so we get a chance to talk about kind of setting a culture, creating a discipline and accountability and culture and motivation, staff, the whole thing from the beginning. And coming in at year three at the University of South Florida, I know what that's like. I know what it means to build a program. And, for you coaches out there that have not had a chance to do that, it's not unlike taking over a program that has been struggling and you're having to come in and put your stamp on it at the very beginning. And so we talk about a ton of great things. You're going to really get a ton out of this episode. Before you do, though, we want to make sure we recognize our sponsor, Ignition APG. If you have not gone to their website, make sure to do so. They have multiple products that you'd be interested in. They have a great protein formula. Their pharmaceutical company, Prasco, is their parent company. And so it is pharmaceutical grade and just a fantastic product. They also have their speed certification, and they're coming out with their strength certification as well here pretty soon. And so you're going to want to pay attention to that. But again, if you have not heard me talk about Ignition, in my mind, they do it the right way. They strengthen the mind, the body, and the spirit. And as coaches, that's what we're all about. You can put the best program on paper, but unless you can get them to do it, it doesn't mean anything. And those guys, Cliff and Ben and everybody there, they do it the right way, and they're getting your guys to buy in a big, big way. So check them out. Follow them on social media. Sit back and enjoy this episode with Jim, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Super excited to have a buddy of mine, Jim Kiertsey, down at Kennesaw State, and just been a guy that I've gotten to know over the years. Respect from afar. The job that he's done here at Kennesaw is fantastic. Got a chance to just tour the facilities, and man, I'm super impressed and appreciate the friendship, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to be a part of this. I've listened and watched so many of them, so I'm pumped that you picked me. I'm glad you came by.
Absolutely, man. Well, this is, I want to get into your journey a little bit. I mean, like I said, we got to know each other back when you were in the Citadel. Just Reader's Digest version, kind of why you got into strength and conditioning and kind of what's led you to here.
Yeah, I grew up in a coaching family. My stepdad has coached girls basketball for almost 40 years, so I grew up on a bench. Coach football when I was really young too, so right. So coaching has always been around, and then working out for me, having been an athlete growing up, and working out started when I was in seventh grade. I saw Rocky for the first time, and I said, "Hey, Rocky went for a run. He got better, so I'm going to go for a run." And I can remember exactly how far I got on Swift Road when I had to stop and I walked my sorry butt back. Awesome. And the next day I ran. I got further. I'm like, "Hey, this works. Let's keep doing this." So I would run. Then high school, we had a football coach would open the weight room, BFS. I got better and better, was able to be successful enough to play Division III football. Went to Norwich University Military School, Division III in Vermont. We were lucky enough to have a strength coach, so I got a better taste of more organized, team-based training. And that just kind of opened my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, people actually get paid to do this stuff? This is awesome. And so got a degree in physical education from Norwich. Lucky enough that my first strength coach at Norwich became the head strength coach at University of Vermont. He brought me in a limited earnings position. Mm-hmm. So I worked for him for 2 years, and then I left, worked for 3 years for Donnell Boucher at the Citadel in Charleston, which was an awesome, awesome experience. And then in March of 2014, I started working at Kennesaw.
That's awesome. Donnell's one of the best, isn't he?
He's the best. I mean, the risk I took leaving, even it was a low-paying job, a paying job in Vermont, take an unpaid GA position for him is the best decision I made.
And, yeah, absolutely.
I was lucky enough to, different people moved on where I was promoted to be his top assistant. And the things I learned from him every single day in that office, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Absolutely. He's been on the show. Make sure you watch that episode. And he's turned around and interviewed me, I think, in episode 100, which was a pretty cool episode as well. But, you know, as you've gone through, you know, your coaching career, you know, we all make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I make mistakes daily, even to this day. What's maybe been the biggest mistake that you've made in coaching, and then kind of how you learned from it?
Without a doubt, starting too friendly with student athletes. So I was at the University of Vermont. I was 21 when I graduated. Started coaching, you know, and to those of you who coach hockey players or skiers, you know, they're like 22, 23, 24 years old, and they're way better athletes than I was. Right. And I, you know, took more of an approach of being friendly with those guys than I was being coach, teacher, mentor,
sure.
Which makes sense when I didn't really know what the heck I was doing. But because I didn't establish that player-coach relationship, it became very difficult to manage when things didn't go the way we wanted to go. And, you know, it starts out positive when you do that because the guys like you, they'll work for you. They know they have to work out the Division I athletes.
Right.
But as soon as you need to push them to a new place or if you need to hold them accountable for something, they're like, no. Like, you're Jim. You're not Coach Jim.
Right.
So that was a huge mistake that I made. And I'm not saying that you got to go in there and be, you know, just guns ablaze and just throwing hammers down on people, but you have to clearly define your expectations. You have to have expectations and standards, and you need to uphold them from the beginning. And I didn't have those, and I didn't right. attempt to have those. And that really limited what I was able to do with some of the teams that I worked with at Vermont.
Yeah, I would have this conversation with a lot of my staff, you know, especially young staff. They're just getting in or you know, taking over situations where they're used to having the players call them by their first name. And in some ways, I like that. I like the fact that, you know, there's some relationship there and trust and things like that. And by giving them your first name and allowing them to use it, you know, that does break down some walls. But, you know, me personally, I value the word coach.
I do too.
You know, I know you do as well. And you know, that means something to me, and it should mean something to your athletes. And then clearly defining that, you know, using that early as a coach when you go into a situation. And if you just from day one introduce yourself as Coach Mack or Coach Kurtz or whoever, you know, that starts to kind of set that stage, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's an important thing. Even if you're an intern and you're listening, start having people call you that, you know, as opposed to your first name. And that's going to, you know, it's going to make it easier for you to walk in the shoes of something in a little bit more professional role as you go.
So for sure. It doesn't blur the lines.
Yeah.
You know, they understand every time they call you coach, they know they're talking to somebody that's not their friend.
That's right.
You can be friendly all you want, but they know that. Just by saying it, and you know, something that's neat down, I'm from the Northeast, I'm in the Southeast now, you hear a lot of women being called Miss this, yeah. Miss this, so it might be Miss Emily or Miss Susan,
right.
But that's what the people call their friends' moms.
Right.
But it's Miss
right.
Emily. It's Absolutely. It's not just the first name, because there's got to be that element of respect, because our responsibility is to look after those people and tell them to do things they may not want to do. Not going to do that if you're buddies with them.
Right. I couldn't agree more. You know, when you came from Citadel to Kennesaw, it was a startup football program. I mean, you went an entire year without even playing a game. You know, and so as we all know, not all of our athletes love to lift weights. They love to play ball. That's why they came to college. That's why they're pursuing their degrees and things. And then lifting weights falls somewhere after that. You know, typically. What were some of the things that you did when you walked in the door to kind of set the stage, set the culture, create an environment in which, you know, I mean, this is a phenomenal facility, but it's a little bit off the beaten path and things along those lines. You know, you had to get some buy-in quick without having the carrot of game day on Saturday.
Right. The first thing that I was fortunate enough to have is a great head coach. So my head coach supports me 100%, and he believes in the weight room, believes that what it does for them physically and culturally. So when it's important to him, it's going to become more important to the guys. Mm. And that's really important. But to achieve what I wanted to achieve out in the weight room, it started with communication and clearly outlining what we do and what we don't do. So we run where we go. We never put our hands on our head or hands on our knees. You know, we're always moving, we're always spotting, we're always helping. And we clearly define those things, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it. And then we coached it and we coached it and we coached it. And when a kid is being disciplined for something that they've heard before, it's a lot easier to swallow than if you're just running down someone's throat
right.
to yell at them to do something that they didn't know they were supposed to do in the first place.
Right.
So I made sure that even if I took a little bit too much time doing it, I explained to them what we were about here. Now we're about effort, attitude, and toughness. We're about tempo, technique, and teamwork. And those are the things that we're going to stand by, and we're going to be unwavering on those things.
Yeah, the things that I think pulling out of that, you know, clearly setting your expectations. You have to do that from the get-go. But what I heard you say that I don't want people to miss is you coached it. You know, it's one thing to throw words out. You know, you look out in the weight room, pain of discipline or pain of regret. You have goals and words up on the way. But if you're not talking about those things every single day, you're not holding them accountable. You teach them how to do an exercise, but then you turn around and you turn your back. You know, you're going to get what you emphasize. And so, coaching that and holding that standard and that clearly set expectation, that's the thing not to miss in that. I'm glad you said that. What, you know, with your situation here, you know, one of the things that we were talking about off camera a little bit is how the head coach, you know, as he went through, he wanted a guy that was going to come in and bring tons of energy, was going to make lifting, you know, productive and efficient, but also fun and enjoyable for the athletes as well. You know, we've seen you've had a, you know, if you guys haven't watched, you know, Google, you know, when the guys broke out, what was the song?
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough, yeah, in the middle of the lift. Phenomenal, phenomenal culture and fun, and you know, and again, you know, you use social media pretty efficiently and productively throughout. We've talked about a number of things that you've done from a fun standpoint or variety standpoint and changing things up. Where does that inspiration come from? How do you challenge yourself to continually think up and think outside the box like that?
It's like you mentioned in this, the kind of segue into the question. Like my head coach said that when he was playing college ball, he got sick of training. He knew he had to do it, so he did it, but he hated it. And we know that the majority of the kids that we deal with are like that. And he said, I need somebody to come in here and do what needs to be done to get him bigger, faster, stronger, and you know, more resilient to injury and all that stuff, but make it enjoyable to however much you can.
Right, sure.
And so if that's what my boss wants me to do, I'm gonna make sure that's a priority.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to sacrifice the quality of our training session. We're not gonna not squat, we're not gonna not clean, we're not gonna not bench. We're gonna do the stuff that we need to do to build strength and speed. But how do we do it? Where do we do it? Those things can change. And there's not one way to get strong. There's so many different ways. If there's only one way, everybody would do it.
Right.
So what we do is we're so blessed to have such amazing things available to us. So I've got a big turf area and I've got 15 racks, but we're in a warehouse, so we can go right outside onto the concrete into the loading docks. And I got good intern classes. We can go out and we can lift on the fields. And maybe, you know, we mix up who you're training with. And you know, all it takes is a 2-degree change of what's going on.
Right.
And it feels to the guys like it's a completely different thing. And so we were talking, you know, we're lucky enough that on our practice fields, they happen to be sand volleyball courts. So I looked at it and I'm like, this is our second summer training. How can we evolve it? And how can we make a difference so the guys want to do it? Well, let's make one of our agility days in the sand.
Right.
Because that's an effective way of producing athletes.
Yeah. Overload.
And it's there. Yeah. Yeah. It's there for us, so why wouldn't we use it? I kind of say, if we have so much available, we're cheating every coach that doesn't have it by not using it.
Right.
So I'm trying to use every single tool, every single implement to make things as dynamic and exciting while never losing sight of the productivity of the training session. Number one, the kids got to get bigger, faster, stronger, more explosive.
Right.
So that's got to happen.
Right.
Right. But there are other ways to do it. So lift outside, use chains, use bands, you know, use hex bars, use the squat bar, you know, do cleans off the blocks. Not necessarily because it's the best thing to do, but because the guys might attack it a little bit differently.
Sure.
You know, and what's great about social media is that so many people are sharing so many things. So if you just make your news feed relevant, scroll down, you know, for 10 minutes a day, you're going to see some new stuff different people are doing.
Right.
How does that fit into what we're doing right now? Or how does that fit in what I want to do in 6 months? And there you go. You have a new idea that your kids haven't done yet. And you know they're not
right
seeing that on social
that's right
media.
That's right.
So they don't know where you are. As far as they're concerned, I'm a genius.
A brand new thing, right?
Right.
Well, I think, you know, things that I want to dig into a little bit deeper there. I mean, you know, first, you weren't looking about what you don't have. You know, you weren't saying, well, I don't have all this equipment. You were looking as to what you had available to you and finding ways to use it, thinking outside the box that way. The second thing is you do research. You know, just like any professional, you know, you do research to try to make yourself better and your company more effective and efficient. And, you know, so you're using social media as a form of research, and you're digging out different things, different ideas, and then you're making them your own, you know, and you're incorporating it in a different way. And I think that's, you know, so many coaches, you know, look at things like social media as I did for a long time. I mean, I wrote in my book that if you know, you would have sent me a tweet you know, 10 years ago, I would have told you I was going to punch you in the face. You know? I mean, that was the stupidest thing in the world. I kept my cell phone in my truck. But that, you know, forms of communication and research can be a very powerful tool. Talk a little bit, you know, about, because you are, I mean, you post pretty regularly about things that you guys got going on in your program. You know, some coaches would say, well, you know, why, you're holding a video camera, you're not coaching. Or some coaches would say, I mean, why do that in the first place? It's distracting to maybe the athletes. What would you say to that?
A couple different things. Number one, I try to take short clips. So holding the camera for 12 seconds after coaching for a minute, and I put it away, coach again. Right. So it doesn't take too long, and I don't take video when our guys aren't performing the way that we want to.
Sure.
So I don't think it's a distraction. The guys love being on camera. I find that when the camera comes out, the guys like to perform a little bit more.
Sure.
Call that an ego thing. So the guys love it. And I think it's positive for our program and our community, and more importantly, our players, to broadcast what we do from behind the scenes.
Right.
Like everybody knows that people train. They don't really know how it's done.
Right.
So I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to put it on Instagram. It's a 12-second video. And you know, the quarterback's mom sees it, and she shares it onto her Facebook page, and then all of a sudden, 7 kids from his high school saw it, and an aunt and uncle, and someone from Washington, and so it's kind of spreading our brand, not just as the Owl Strength brand, but Kennesaw State football, and then the kids see it, and the kids feel like they're a part of something bigger,
right.
and they like to see themselves. So I don't look at it as a distraction, I look at it as a positive production and promotion of what our guys are doing. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of our guys for buying into what we do.
Sure.
I'm proud of our guys for learning to do things effectively and efficiently. And I want to broadcast that so they can have a product that they can look at and be proud of themselves. And also, there have been so many people that have done so much for this industry. And I like to think that we do some good things. But are we where we want to be? Absolutely not.
Right.
Do we do a lot of things very poorly? Yeah.
Right.
We want to get better at those things, but what we do well, what we think that we do better than some other people, I want to share.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not going to write a book right now. I don't got anything to write a book about.
Sure.
But I can share that we're lifting outside, doing double band hex bar deadlift outside in the heat.
Right.
And people can get a kick out of that, and maybe that stimulates some type of thought. And so I like to think of it in a way of giving back to the industry, which is I enjoy being a part of so much and that so many people have shared.
I think that's, you hit it right on the head for me. I think we have an obligation to give back to a profession
Sure.
that gave us so much, you know, and if it can help educate in any ways, I think that's big. I think the branding element, I think, is a critical piece that I've talked about quite a bit on the show in terms of, you know, your brand as an individual, your brand as a strength and conditioning program, and your brand as a you know, a football program or a sport program, whatever it may be. And we all have an obligation to contribute to that, you know, and protect that, you know, and what better way than to show your guys working hard and doing all the things and educating people as to what literally goes into, you know, to what we do. And I think the most important thing you said is you found a way to meet the athletes where they're at. You know, they're on social media.
Yeah,
you know,
can't get them off it.
You know, and so in those 22 hours when you're not dealing with the athletes, and if you're going out there, one of the things that I do all the time, and you know, when I meet with athletes, I call it their why meeting. I ask them 3 questions. But one of the questions I ask them is, who's the most influential person in their life? You know, and then I try to reach out to that person.
That's
and,
awesome. That's great.
You know,
yeah.
And give them something positive about the kid. Well, when I do that, now they're turning around and they're, you know, their next conversation, they're talking about how the strength coach called and what a good guy he is and how much he cares about you. And they're hearing that from the most influential person. But the reason why I bring that up is because that influential person probably is following them on social media.
Sure.
You know,
I agree.
And it's a chance for them to brag on them. It's a chance for them to see that. And again, you're bringing that to them. And so it breaks down walls as a coach, which I think is so important, you know, so important. You know, when we're talking education, you know, we just sat in and I got the opportunity to sit in on a staff meeting, which is one of the things that I'm absolutely loving to do with my new role. But we sat down and talked shop, and we had one of the interns, you know, speak to a passage that he had read in a book, and we just had a great conversation about it. But it's obvious to me that you pour in, and I've known this from knowing you for a long time, but you pour into your staff. From an educational standpoint, you have a defined curriculum that you use as a template, as a blueprint, and then you go from there. You know, I know that you know you've taken what you did at Citadel with Donnell, and you've built upon that as a head strength coach. But talk about just how you've structured your learning process,
and then how important that is.
So the big reason why I do, I'll start kind of start with why, right?
Yeah, sure.
Is it really is all about the kids and the athletes, and they need the best coaching that they can get.
Right.
And the more that we invest in coaches, the better coaching they're going to do to the kids.
Sure.
So our kids are going to get better coaching the more I educate my staff. Right, and the more my staff feels I'm investing in them, the more they're going to invest their time in this program, the more they're going to pour into it. So indirectly and directly, our kids are getting better because of the work that I'm doing with my staff. And that's why some people might say, well, why are you spending 5 hours a week working with interns when you should be working with your players? Well, I think that is going to ultimately pay off in the long run. I really truly believe that it does. How I set it up is I try to make it holistic the best I can. And we do our best to follow that curriculum. Like you said, we go from there.
Right.
But Mondays are based on our leadership Mondays. So on Friday, we post a video or give them an article. They have to read that's based on either outside the box thinking or some type of direct leadership trait. Or quality or example that we want them to be able to think about at least so it can positively influence them and impact our kids. So they'll read that or watch the video or do it over the weekend and they'll write it up. And we have a private Facebook page and they got to post their write-up and then they start a conversation. It's their responsibility to start the conversation with the staff and we build on it and we talk about it. And so leadership is Monday. Tuesday is TED Talk Tuesday.
Okay.
So I've got 17 different TED Talks that I think are some of the best ones that I've seen.
Right.
And we just watch that as a staff. Some of them are like 3 minutes, like the one how to tie your shoes.
Right.
You know, other ones are like 17 minutes long. And some of them actually aren't TED Talks and they're commencement speeches, like that great one by the Admiral, Navy SEAL. But they're all different things that may directly associate to coaching, some don't.
Yeah.
But it's gonna help you think differently.
Sure.
It's gonna help you think outside the box and ultimately change the way you go about your business, hopefully in some positive way. Wednesday is on the floor coaching. So we take you on the floor and we say, teach us how to front squat, teach us how to do the hand clean, just going over the cues. And those are the X's and O's that you have to be able to do.
Right, sure.
You have to be able to handle that stuff. And you should be getting better at that. Whether you have the opportunity to lead a group or just coach on the floor, you should be getting better by listening to coaches coach.
Right.
You should be better at just going out there and coaching. And I let our coaches go and coach.
Sure.
Like, I give them everything they need to know, and I don't care if they know 9 words.
Right.
If it's heels down, knees out, chest up, back straight, they can help us get better.
That helps.
You know what I'm saying? So we go out there and we just start to go yell those words because it's going to get us better, and you'll get better as the semester goes on. So that's the platform coaching. Thursday is Chalk Talk. So that's usually has to do with programming.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Different interns have different experience. Like our Matt Gilbert, who we have right now, has spent a lot of time prior to coming here really pouring himself into learning the X's and O's of the science of lifting.
Right.
So I might spend a little less time going over the tier system with him or a little bit less time going over 5-3-1 conjugate, whatever. I might spend a little less time on that and spend more time going over how to utilize social media or how to utilize Microsoft Excel.
Right.
Different skill sets that make you a better strength coach.
Absolutely.
And everybody's going to get a little bit of both.
Right.
Each group is going to be a little different based on the makeup of that staff.
Sure.
And then Friday, we go and eat a Waffle House.
There you go.
we don't do anything on Fridays because it's Friday, especially in the summer. It's like we train the guys,
awesome.
We lift, and we go and eat at Waffle House.
That's awesome.
But that's how we set it up. And again, every semester is a little bit different.
Right.
So right now I've got really 1.5 interns because the other guy's been here for over a year.
Right, sure.
But in the summer I had 12.
Right, right.
So that's going to change a little bit about the way we go about things.
Right.
And there'll be other things that pop up that need to pop up.
Sure.
Like, you guys aren't doing the job that you need to do. Let's go over this right now. So forget TED Talk Tuesday. Let's talk about what we're looking for in this drill that you did not help coach very well.
Absolutely.
So that stuff is really the most important stuff. And what I've noticed, and this should happen with everybody pretty much regardless of what goes on, your intern class at the start of the semester is clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, your training is only as good as your staff is.
Right.
But as the interns get better and they coach more effectively, more confidently, the training on the floor becomes better because the kids are getting coached better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And, you know, not that you need extra added motivation, but, you know, when you pour into coaches, it's one of the most rewarding things because I can't remember the quote, but it's basically, you know, the impact that a coach makes, you know, is you have more impact than most people do their entire lives, you know, in almost one day as a coach, the number of people that you influence and thus the people that they influence, you know, and And so pouring into coaches was one of the most noble things I think you can do. You know, and if you're and most strength coaches and everybody listening to this, I mean, you're doing it because you're pouring into yourself right now. But at the same time, it's you know, they have a giving heart. Most strength coaches have a giving heart. Now that said, if you know you want to be a success in strength and conditioning, you know, when I first got in, that's the only thing that motivated me. You know, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the guy that everybody pointed to. And I looked around and I said, okay, who's the best? What were they doing? You know, and what they were doing, they were writing, they were speaking, and they were developing coaches. You know, and so, again, I think even if you need extra added motivation, you want to be the best. Those are three things that you should be doing on a regular basis. You know, and I commend you on what you do because I've seen it firsthand, but we need more of that, you know, across the board, and we need to be sharing it. And I know Jim, you know, he's put up his, you know, the TED Talk on social media. I think you even put up your curriculum.
I did.
You know, before, and
I stole it all from people anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, all of us is stolen. But take advantage, ask those questions, ask what people are doing, and you know, especially from guys like Jim that are doing it the right way, I think is important. Let's talk a little training. I mean, right now we're in season. At Kennesaw, what are they doing for their in-season program? What's the normal week look like?
So, non-travel, so our developmental squad, they train 5 days a week.
Okay.
So, they actually train during meetings, so they're out of the meeting room.
Okay.
Where some guys would really make the most of being in a meeting room, other guys would be a big distraction.
Sure.
But let's just have them train while the other guys are getting ready for Saturday.
Right.
So, that's 5 days a week, and we go total body, it's all fundamentals. Basic, simple things done savagely well. So that's what we're doing with them. We're lucky we have, I think, a class of 18 freshmen, and I think 15 of them are redshirting.
Okay.
So that's really exciting for us to have that many, you know, what we're looking at to be really future players coming in here 5 days a week and training. But the travel squad, you know, we're less is more, especially in season. We train 80 minutes a week, 50 minutes on Monday, 30 minutes on Thursday. And so we come in on Monday morning and we hit a total body lift. You know, a good aggressive warm-up, get the mind right. You know, we don't do anything on Sundays. We give the kids off on Sundays. They can come in and roll out and stretch if they want, but we don't train them on Sunday. Coach wants them off.
Right.
And I understand why, and I get it. Right. So they come in Monday morning, 6 a.m. is the first thing. That's a huge responsibility of a strength coach. We're the first people to see them after a game. Right. So we got beat on Saturday night, which is awful to talk about. But
I'll leave that out.
We were the first people that they saw after the game. So we got to set the tone for what the week was going to be like. So what it will look like, we'll do a good aggressive warm-up, and then we'll hit our big lower body lift of the week. So what we're doing is we're changing. We're going heavy, medium, light week to week.
Right. Sure.
Okay? But what I realized kind of throughout my whole time, and specifically with the type of athletes that we have, it wasn't going to be in our best interest to squat every week. So we've eliminated squatting 2 of our 3 weeks of our cycles.
Okay.
So we'll do a light squat. We'll go 6 to 8 by 3 with a chain, dynamic effort. That's our light and our speed week.
Right.
The next week will be medium. We'll do a barbell hip thrust with an eccentric focus.
Okay.
So we're getting a lot of stimulation, a lot of activation, and you know, we're trying to get strong that way.
Right.
And then our heavy lift is gonna be a hex bar deadlift off a block. Okay. Try to get really, really wedged in, lift a heavy weight for 3 to 5 reps, and that's how we're gonna get our heavy stimulus in. And that's not going to necessarily be programmed by percentages because we don't have a 1 rep max or a hex bar deadlift with our guys, how we run our program. But we're going to do it by our eyeballs. Like, that's, that looks the way we want it to look.
Sure.
You know, we don't have 15 tendo units and we don't have all the, you know, but we're going to use the look test. We're like, we're trying to train on a heavy stimulus.
Right.
We want you to set and reset, and I want you to move a heavy weight, and that's how we're going to do it. Then we hit a partial range of motion press for a little bit of volume to get a little bit of a pump.
Right.
And then we do a hamstring, a pull, and an arm, because
it's arms.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's simple. It's 3 tiers plus a warm-up, and then we hit neck as a team before we leave.
Okay.
And then they go right to breakfast.
That's on Monday.
That's Monday.
Right.
Thursday, they roll in, we bench press, we do neck, and then we leave.
Okay.
And that's it. Really? There's a pull paired with the bench. So we do a full total body lift on Monday, which we're getting after it pretty good. On Thursday, we're hitting our heavy upper body stimulus with some neck and a pull.
Okay.
And that's all we're doing. And we practice really aggressively.
Sure.
You know, we're out there running the triple option, and we're doing a lot of goods on goods. And we're aggressive. We condition Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday aggressively.
Right.
So I know that because of what they're putting in on the practice field, I can't be emptying that cup anymore in here.
Right, sure.
So maybe I would do more if we practice a little bit differently, but by the way that we do things,
yeah.
And we haven't had real body weight issues, we haven't had any more than average football injuries. You know, sure. We have an average injury report. Kids sure. get hurt playing this game. So I think that what we're doing is good, but we'll adjust as things go as we need to.
You mentioned that you heavy condition or you'll condition aggressively Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, obviously there's arguments out there as to you're practicing for 2 hours. Why do you need to condition? Or what would your argument be for the volume of conditioning that you're doing, as well as you know, just the fact that you're doing it in the first place?
The coach.
Yeah.
It's the head coach. Okay, and you know, I got a lot of old school in me.
Yeah.
And I know when I was in high school, we ran.
Right.
And we were always in shape, and we were a pretty good football team for Division II Central Massachusetts High School.
Yeah, right.
You know, we weren't playing with thoroughbreds up there, but, you know, we want to pride ourselves on being the fittest team in the fourth quarter. That is the mentality that we want to go out with. We train that way in the winter. We train that way in the summer.
Right.
We train that way during camp. And if that is the mentality that our coach wants our kids to go out with, and that's the culture that we're going to create, then we need to act in accordance to that.
Right.
So we're going to run.
That's awesome.
We run to win. We are built on running. And you could say that you shouldn't, because the overall mileage for practice is too much, but I know that my head coach has our kids' best interest at heart. I know that my head coach has been a part of winning programs, and I trust he knows what he wants to do. And if I feel like we're doing a little much, he is open to hearing what I have to say, and we will reduce
right.
at that time. But I trust that man.
Sure.
And so I'm going to help him run his program.
Absolutely. And that's the number one thing that you should do as a strength coach. You should be, you know, I always say you're the master sergeant of the entire program. You're the guy that's going to get the troops to do what needs to be done, and you're going to be the ultimate loyal guy to, you know, to command. And I think that's the most important thing that you can do. We always end the show with some resources, you know, so give me the best piece of coaching advice that you ever received.
Oh, gosh. Best piece of coaching advice, you know, from a development standpoint, it's read and read outside of strength conditioning.
Yep.
And that came from Donnell. Stop wasting time and read. And that just really, really changed the way I went about
sure.
my relationships with the athletes, my relationships at home.
Sure.
And so, as everybody on your show says, read.
Yeah.
You know, read. And the other thing is coach. Like, you're not out there to be a cheerleader. You're not out there to be, you know, a fun thing to look at or talk to. Your job is to go out there and coach kids. So coach, and coach aggressively with great enthusiasm.
Yeah, don't be a wallflower.
No, so go and coach. So read a lot and coach hard.
I agree with that. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
Book, you know, Boyle's Advances of Strength Functional Training is a fantastic, fantastic foundational and above. Resource to go into reading. And you know, he gets a bad rap from a lot of strength coaches because he doesn't back squat, and I don't think he front squats anymore, but read what he says about it, and you can't argue that he has a system that works for him.
Right.
And so he explains his system, he's willing to share it, and that book was great. And you know, anything that Joe Kent is going to put out there is going to be fantastic as well. And I know a lot of your listeners already follow him, but
absolutely,
that stuff is great. Absolutely. And then another book that I outside of it is Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Yeah.
Not just when you're jumping into leading a staff, but being a part of a staff, being a part of a team. That book is hands down the most important book I think I've ever read.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. What about an app or a website that you regularly check out or use?
Really, we're big on environment here, and I learned this from Donnell. So really put yourself on Spotify.
Yeah.
Make playlists that fit every environment. We were talking about, you know, different types of music for different types of things. Like if you're prepping for a road game, play music that you know your kids don't like.
Right.
You know, and you can have a playlist for that that's just ready to rock. So I put a lot of emphasis on our music, and so Spotify and then Pandora. I also run the music at practice. We have music playing the whole time at practice. So I paid the $5 a month, so it's edited.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the music is huge.
Right.
Absolutely. And these kids these days, coach, like when the music's on, the work is better.
Well, like a lot of strength coaches, they fight against that. You know, they want this sterile atmosphere that they can completely control, or they don't want their athletes dancing or being distracted or whatever. But the reality is, if used properly, it's going to elevate the entire emotional intensity of the room.
I believe that, and I have no qualms or disrespect for anybody who believes another way. But in my experience, what I've seen, when the music's right, the guys are right.
Right.
And the music's wrong, they're wondering what's up.
That's right.
When you set that precedent, then you got to be on all the time.
I agree with you. Well, man, I want to acknowledge you. This is, you know, getting a chance to come down. I mean, I've followed you from afar for a long time. We've been friends for a while. I know you've done a great job, but then to being able to be here, see it, see how you interact with your staff, it's first class.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
It's an honor. Glad to be here.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.